church. He runs our junior church ministry. He's preaching our prison ministry for years, and has gone through just about every course that we have offered here in our Bible Institute, and it's a blessing having him, and I look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid on his heart for us here tonight. So, brother, why don't you come?
All right, amen. Well, good evening, church.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, hold them up and say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Many people hazard their lives throughout the centuries. All right, to hold in your hands what you have today. Hold what you have today in your hands. All right, and that's I don't take that lightly. I don't take being up here lightly, but we have a lot to go over. So without further ado, I want you to open up to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, as I try to work this thing here and get it undone and get it on me. I'm a little ramped up today. Well, right now anyway. But I was nervous when I was home. You can ask my wife. I get quiet, and she'll find me different parts of the house. I'll be praying or whatever. Try to open the door, and it hits me or something. I get scared when I'm up here, you know. But it's not me. Greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's nothing that I bring to the table, but just allowing myself to be used of the Lord. And I praise the Lord for that, because to me, I'm nothing. Amen. So without further ado, I won't sit up here and babble too long. All right. I'll need some help today. How many of you are excited to be saved? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are excited to be in church on Wednesday?
Amen.
Amen. All five of you. Amen. All right. All right. I'm excited, as you can tell. All right. You got your Bibles open, and my mic fell off. Probably hear it bouncing on the floor. I got to get this right. I got to hurry up. Pastor told me I only had 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm keeping an eye on my time. Hopefully, this thing stays on. Oh, that's why. Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, there we go. I got it. Hang on. Yes. All right. I hope this thing stays on, Lord. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to go through some things here this evening. All right. The book of Genesis. I'm going to give, for sake of time, a overview to lead us up to the very first verse in chapter 3. And then a little bit after that, what we see here in the beginning is the creation account. All right, the creation account, the Adamic age, or as we call it, the age of innocence, which is from the creation of the earth until the fall of man. Amen. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dear God in heaven, I thank you and love you, Lord, for all that you do and have done already today, Lord. Father God, I'm not worthy to be up here. I'm a dog at best, Lord. Deserve hell with my back broke at best, Lord. But Father God, thank you for your salvation, Lord. Thank you for that wonderful day, Lord, when I bowed my knee and my head and my heart and I asked you to come into my heart and save me, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord. These people don't need more of me, Lord. My church family does not need more of me. They need all of you, Lord. And I pray that I'd be cleaned up enough here tonight, Lord, that you would use me, Lord, and fill me with your spirit, Lord. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. I'd be naive to think there's somebody in here or many in here, including myself, that needs something from you, Lord. And I pray that you would deliver today, Lord. We love you and we need you. And all these things we pray in the name that's above every name, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, the title of the message tonight really is the guarding of innocence, the guarding of innocence. You know, every Sunday morning we come here and we try to meet, everybody else gets here 8:30, I'm here like 8:45, 9, Lord help me. All right, and we pray before anything happens in this building underneath this roof, all right. And then after we get done there, we go set up in junior church, myself, my son, Hudson, any of the other little people that are here already. Most of them are church family. Amen. And then we get down there, we set up the chairs. And lately, because of COVID, they've been 6 feet apart, 6 feet backwards, 6 feet sideways on the ceilings, all spacing and everything like that. Well, praise the Lord, got a little bit more freedom. Amen. So we can get a little bit closer together. And the kids, they always make their way towards their brother and sister. Now they're friends. Amen. Down here, Sister Seatman plays the piano. She deals with me messing up as much as they do in adult church. In junior church, we play Simon Says. You're like, what? That seems a little quirky, but hey, that's what we do, all right? And I like it. And I run junior church, so you can deal with me afterwards. Amen? But praise the Lord, I love it. We have preachers in junior church. I stumble over my words a little bit. Little guys, 5 to 7 minute messages. Usually it's Hudson or Isaiah or Nathaniel Hodges. Sometimes my son, Braden. We have young ladies and young men, little boys, little girls that sing specials, beautiful songs. Beautiful songs. I'm getting third base signals here, right? Oh, it's not on?
On the little box behind your belt. Yep, there's a switch on top.
It says power. I got to flip that switch? So now we're good? All right, so we're good. All right. I'm sorry, I'm not the brightest tech in the story. Amen. Turned it on. All right. But praise the Lord. And on top of that, all right, we have some adult staff here that I have the pleasure of working with Sunday in and Sunday out. The best in the business working with these little guys. Sometimes it's hard working with them. Amen. Sometimes it's hard keeping them still and in their seats. But I love them. They're little. I love their age. I love the fact that they just say whatever's on their mind. I love how their ability to tell the truth seems so right up front. My son will be, no, Dad, that's not what you said. Time out. Right? I love their innocence. I love the little ones. I just love how they carry themselves. And we have preachers in that church, adult preachers. Sometimes it's Brother Buck. Sometimes it's Brother Nathan Faulkner. Sometimes it's Brother Ed Bauman. Sometimes it's Brother Bauman. Sometimes it's myself every third week. I try to keep the rotation. I'm every third week and preach. Even our assistant pastor, associate pastor, Brother Seatman, Preacher Seatman, in his busy schedule, takes the time to go down there and preach every couple of months. Pastor Russo, in his busy schedule, takes the time to come down there and preach. You say, what's that got to do with anything? What it has to do with is that you go down this hallway here, about 100 yards or so, and you head down the hallway through the double doors, the other double doors, and up that hill a little bit to your left and through those double doors, and you open those doors, we have a bunch of impressionable little minds, moldable and stuff, to be used by the Lord, and that is something worth guarding. And I don't take that lightly. I don't even know what I'm doing down there half the time. Some of you folks in here, you're like, man, you're right on that. Sometimes I wonder what you're doing. But the time that I've been there, we've seen 4 souls saved. I don't know what the Lord's doing with me down there, but something's getting done. And if he wants me to continue to look like I don't know what I'm doing so more people get saved, amen, I'm in on it. You say, where are you going with this, Brother Rice? Well, just hang on with me just a little bit. We see in the beginning, in the creation account, so many things were made, and at the end, 6 times to be exact, the Lord says, and it was good. And after the day of rest, and he says, it was very good. I don't think the Lord made anything that wasn't good in this creation account. Would we agree? Would we agree? And then he made man out of the dust of the earth, and his name was Adam. And he gave him a job to do, put him in the midst of the garden. Think about this for a second. Everything God made was good, and it was perfect. And Adam had the privilege and honor of being a part of that perfect created world. And he says, Adam, it's not good for man to be all alone. It's funny, we look at those words, it's all one, right? Not to be all alone. It's going to make you an help meet. Amen. A help meet. Made him fall into a deep sleep, opened him up, took his rib out, called it woman. Adam looked at her the first time, said, he's the prettiest girl in the world. She's the only girl in the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord zippered him right back up, and here they are, the perfect couple in the perfect earth, nothing wrong, no sin, nothing play. You imagine what that must have been like? Innocence, perfection. In the eyes of God, you are there talking, fellowshipping with the Lord, which is what he wanted in the first place. The age of innocence. And then soon after that, chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent. Now the serpent. My first point was the age of innocence. If you will, in your mind, just take a look for a second at how perfect that world must have looked like. This world must have looked like then. So we see in chapter 3, verses 1, I'm going to read down just a little bit. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want you to know something here. He said, what's all this got to do with what you're about to preach on? The guarding of innocence. Now, if you remember, some of you have been saved a very long time. Some of us in here have. Some of us have not been saved 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. But know this, I think we can all agree on something. The day we got saved, we had an adversary. The day we got saved, all of a sudden all the stuff started showing up, pulling us away from those things that are perfect, those things that are true, those things that are spoken in our hearts, those things that we bowed the knee and rested our heart and our hope in, which was Jesus Christ. It doesn't take long for something to come around the corner and try to knock you over. Hey, if you're saved in here tonight, you got a target on your back. Don't be surprised. I'm amazed at myself, at how surprised I get at sin and sin of others and sin of myself when I do it. The devil's not trying to knock somebody that's not fouled, that's already on his side, off their pedestal. That's a waste of his time. He's trying to get somebody like a pastor, a teacher, a preacher, somebody that's saved, a soul winner. I can't tell you how tired I am of hearing about preachers that fall. But before I say that, hey, consider thyself unless you also be overtaken in a fault. I'm not that person to put myself up here. No. I see what the pastors here in years past, Pastor Huber, Pastor Russo, Pastor Seaman, the things they go through, the houses they visit, the people they talk to, the things that they have to endure. Part of me says, Lord, I don't want any of that. That's trouble. That's hard to endure. What is that? That's what happens when perfection gets corrupted and sin enters in. The serpent enters in. My first point was the age of innocence. The second point is the presence of the enemy. The presence of the enemy. Before that second point, go with me, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. The book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1. And then this is a parable of the seed sown, of the sower, amen? And the seed that's sown is that of the gospel. And it tells you here through Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, it tells you about certain seed that's sown on good ground and how it's fruitful and it multiplies, plentiful. It tells you about that which was sown on a rock. It sprung up just for a little bit, but then it withered away because, you know, the elements of the air and stuff taken away. Those that are around thorns, and the thorns choked it up, and those are a picture of life and how it chokes people out. The point of this here is, for the sake of time, is that when that seed's sown, it amazes me how quick something comes to take it away. Something comes to get it and snatch it. No different than a couple hundred yards up here, around the corner, in that room, the old sanctuary, how quick when those little ones, impressionable, moldable minds and hearts, and how quick when you give them the gospel, you give them that seed, they're all excited. Then they go home. They go to their schools. Some of you here have story after story about some of these bus kids. Myself in the past and stuff, some of you right now, it blows my mind. Some of the things that they're told. Direct contradiction to what they're taught from the Bible. God's perfection. People questioning that. And then they come in there and they're asking these questions. You're like, why in the world? Who is telling you this? You're like, what's the big deal, mister? There's seven! They're eight. I remember Brother Hearn was up here, and he was talking about it in Nepal. And I remember this one message. It's the only thing I paid attention to. The only thing. He says, he was talking about a bird and how his kids were just infatuated with this bird flying. And he yells, and people want to corrupt that? Something perfect that God made. That's right. The word of God, which is what is truth. Thy word is truth. Perfection. Age of innocence. Creation. People want to corrupt that. The word of God, the gospel, people want to corrupt that. And they want to take it from your children's hearts. Those seeds that are planted. Their minds. My children's. I remember some years ago, we were camping with the Burkharts. And my wife's like, hey, what? And I see Opal, and I see Braden. And they're standing on one side of the road. And there's these kids on the other. And I hear Opal say these words, that's not true. That's not true. And Brain goes, I don't know where you heard that. That's not true. God's real. And I hear across the way, my dad says there is no God. Opal's 7 at the time. Braden's 5. Ava's trouble. Where do they learn to take a stand like that? In our home first. The first guide at home, in the house, under our roof, 1020 Lake Road, Westport, reading the Bible stories at night. Sometimes when they're falling asleep, you don't think they get anything. Hey, let me help you. They're getting a lot. And then they come up here Sundays and Wednesday, whether it's King's Club or whether it's Junior Church, and they're getting preached at by the wonderful preachers who sacrifice their time to come up with messages Sunday after Sunday to preach these little guys. Illustrations that blow my mind. I feel like I'm one of those little guys in the chair, you know, and I'm like, oh, man. Throw me a piece of candy. Can I get the answer, you know? What is it? The age of innocence. We need to protect that. That's the big deal about it. You can name friend after friend. Just like that seed sown, taken away after years of salvation, years of preaching in jails, years of soul winning, being my mentor, some of them that brought me up in my faith newly, walked away from it all. One of them even had the guts to tell me, at least he had the guts to tell me to my face, he says, it's easier to sin. The other one writes me a letter. Taught me tons of things from the scriptures. You couldn't tell me to my face. Those people saved, those doors that we knocked on, those people you led to the Lord, you mean to tell me that's not real? What is that? That's your adversary. Coming to take that what was sown. Sorry if Mr. Rice is a little pumped up this evening. I don't know much of anything. I don't. But I know what's worth fighting for. I know what's worth guarding. The age of innocence, the presence of an enemy. Back in Genesis chapter 3, if you will, we're moving along. You see that right after this perfect place is created, these perfect people are there, and the perfect fellowship between them and God, in rolls the serpent, the enemy. The serpent, your adversary, my adversary. And the first thing he does is questions God's word. Eve is given specific instructions. Adam is given specific instructions about what to eat from and what not. They knew, our children, our kids, our friends, our parents, us, we're given specific instructions from a perfect God on what to do, what not to do. And one of the worst things that happens is somebody comes in and they might not tell you right off the bat, this is contrary, you should do the opposite. But it's just like rat poison. 0.0000001% poison. A little bit each time. A little bit each time. Every time a mouse eats poison, I never find them out in the open. They're always rotting in a wall. You never know when it's going to take effect, but it always does take effect. It always does take effect. I thought about this the other day with myself and my relationship with my kids. Some of the things that I do that I don't think are harmful, it takes effect. A brother a long time ago told me, it's not what you say, it's what they see. It's what they see. We have the age of innocence, the presence of the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring, lying, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. If you've ever seen a pack of any animals in Africa, any animals in the Midwest here, it's always the young one that gets taken first. It's the weak one, the one that can't defend for itself. I had the privilege of watching a video with a lion cub. And a gator came out of the water and got it. It's a baby. One lion, a lioness, two lions, three lions came playing tug of war, and they got that baby from the jaws of that crocodile's mouth, that gator's mouth, whatever. So I'm not too much of a fan of Florida. Snakes, gators, spiders, nah. Good weather, though. But you get the point. These little ones, your little ones, my little ones, they're the ones in the back. They're the ones straggling along. under our tutelage, whether it's Zeke, whether it's Madeline, whether it's Charity or Blake, whether it's Braden, Ava, Janae, Opal. In this church, if I know you and you're a little one, and I see the adversary sneak up, I just might say something.
Amen.
Why? Because I love you, and I love your kids. Why? Because people here took the time to invest in me. Why? Because when I was a mess, nobody judged me. Why? Because you guys just doped me up with the scriptures, things that I never learned before, knew that was in this Bible till I came here. And realized that it wasn't just what you were saying, but it was real. It's true. The age of innocence. The presence of the enemy. And we have the questioning of God's perfection. Yea, hath God said. You go in this world, it ain't too long before people start questioning. I'm at work and I'm going to say this. I have some people that I work with and I talk to them about my kids and how we raise our kids, our family. There's always that one person. Well, what if they don't choose to do things? Well, I'm just going to have to be confident that as I'm rolling my shoulders because I'm getting hot, I've done everything that the Lord's asked me to do, and I'm not perfect. Raise them up under my roof in the Word of God and the things of God. But sooner or later, they're going to have a mind of their own. They're going to have their own walk. They have to make their own choices. And I'm just going to pray that they would make the right ones for the Lord, not for Dad, for the Lord. And the first time I heard that, I heard this is crazy for my chiropractor, snapping and cracking me and everything. And I'm talking to him about the Lord, and he says, I don't think God's interested in us raising perfect kids. And I'm like, okay, let me pull out my pen and paper. Where do you go to church? Because I'm not going there. Right? No. He says, I think he's interested in us teaching our kids that when they do mess up, and they will, Lord willing, it won't be big, there's enough grace left for them to come back. Just, how much is that? You know, that. A lot of wisdom there in that. A lot of wisdom there in that. Questioning, you have the age of innocence, the presence of the enemy, questioning of God's perfection, God's creation for both Adam and Eve. Did Eve believe it was perfect? Did Eve believe that what she had was good enough? Did Eve believe she can do better? I ask myself, these may be crazy questions, but I ask myself this when I'm reading this. You're under the Lord's supervision. You have fellowship with God the Father. Everything. First time at everything, right? I don't know about you, but I was the firstborn, and they just seemed to get dumber and dumber the more brothers I had, right? They were second law of thermodynamics, right? Everything's getting worse, right? But the more you make a duplicate of something, like these ink cartridges, I tried to print off stuff the other day, and I couldn't even see it. I'm like, yeah, it's good enough, right? The more you use it, the weaker it gets, right? Adam and Eve had the first of everything, fresh, right? I'm like, man, what was everything like there? With the water, I don't know. Why wasn't that good enough? That you had somebody, the serpent comes in, and he questions God's word and makes you think. Sometimes not just, like I said before, it's not them just coming and being direct opposition right off the bat. It's that little bit of poison. Yea, hath God said. Makes you think a little bit. Makes you start thinking, well, maybe what I was taught wasn't right. Maybe there's pleasure in sin for a season. Right? Bible says that. Maybe you can run off and do your own thing for a while and you can come back to the Lord. Listen, tomorrow's not promised. What could happen? Even if you're saved, if you run away in something, you don't have a chance to come back. It scares me to think what some of these... Okay, be careful with us. Today at work, where I work, I deal with young people and most of the time adults. But every once in a while, I'll deal with a young person and I'm just praying. I'm like, Lord, what did somebody do to this young lady, this young kid. What's wrong with them? Why is it so hard to hold down an 8-year-old? Why is he so angry? Why? Somebody took and corrupted the perfection. Somebody didn't take the time to explain to him, hey, you have a father, may not hear earthly, you don't know who he is. You have a father which is in heaven. He loves you. He created this earth for you perfectly, but it was corrupted by sin. You don't have to live like that anymore. You have a God which is in heaven, has sent his son to die for you. Yes, you may not think much of your mom and dad, but God sent his only son to die for you. Sometimes I feel like telling them that when I got my arms wrapped around them. At times it's putting my arms around them, they're fighting, they're headbutting me, making my lip or my nose bloody and everything like that. And then I tell them, I'll whisper to them without everybody seeing. I'm like, I love you. Sometimes you just want to hear it from a man figure, a father figure that says, somebody loves me. I can't tell you how many times they'll still fight, but they won't be fighting me. I can let them go. The age of innocence, presence of the enemy, the questioning of God's perfection. Let me question something here. Let me ask you something here. Is it good enough for us? Is the Christianity, the place where God has us right now in our lives, good enough for you? If God came down and said, this is where I want you, right here, forever, in this job, Mr. Rice, that you don't like, and you complain about all the time, but this is where you're going to win the most souls, so this is good enough, right? Is that good enough for you? I have to ask myself that because I'm telling you, there's times where I think, no, Lord, it's not. Does the clay say to the potter? Do we say to the creator who created something perfect that we're the ones that corrupted, hey, this isn't good enough, Lord? That's crazy. But I do it. Why? It's the flesh. It's sin. I can't wrap my head around it. And then that's why I say, Lord, why would you forgive a wretch like me? Why wasn't it good enough? And before I start pointing the finger just to Eve, Adam came in right afterwards and sealed the deal too. So, see there, men, you have no escape. Age of innocence, the presence of the enemy, the questioning of God's word. And because of that, we have the fall of man. Is it good enough? I think about that and sit on there. Is it good enough? Is God's ways good enough? We sing that song here that Hubers and Buck sing it, and it's his way is perfect, right? Perfect. You get that part, they just keep saying perfect. And it reminds me, Lord, you're perfect. I'm imperfect. I'm imperfect. Let me just follow you, keep my eyes on you. Let me just keep my eyes on you. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. I'm rolling fast here. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. I got to go to this. Isaiah 55, 8. 55, verse 8. If you're there, say amen. All right, all two of you. 55, 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts. Higher than your thoughts. I think that settles it right there. His way is good enough. Not only is it good enough, it's perfect. Right, COVID? I didn't like it either. God's doing something. His way is perfect. Next thought, the absence of a porter. The absence of a porter. Some months ago, Pastor Russo did a message on the porter being an image of the Holy Spirit, being a gatekeeper. I looked up the definition of porter. It's a gatekeeper. Someone that watches who's coming in and who's coming out. Not just watches. Doesn't let anybody in unless it's the right person. That being God the Father. The absence of a porter. Where was Adam? This isn't like a marriage message, by the way, but where was Adam? In comes the serpent. He's talking to your wife, man. Where was Adam? Hey, in our lives, where are we when these things come up in our kids' lives? Where are we when a newly fresh saved soul that we're supposed to be nurturing up in the ways of the Lord, where are we when somebody comes out with crazy questions and accusations and all these that generate strifes and everything like that? Where are we? There's times where I'm scared to speak up because of where I'm at. I'm at work. I have to constantly ask myself, is it worth my job? I don't know, it'll blindside me. I've been there this, I praise the Lord, I was consistent. One thing I'm consistent on is when I come to work, this thing sits right on my desk. Most of the time it's open. And when somebody, it never fails. When somebody questions it, guess what? A patient comes in and says, hey, bro, is that a Bible? Yeah, it's King James, yeah, man. What book you in? I'm glad you asked, right? It's like the Lord telling me, I'll take care of you. My way's perfect. You just do what I tell you to do. I'll take care of you no matter where you're at. Because it's good enough. It's good enough. It's good enough. The absence of a porter or the gatekeeper. My old pastor, Reverend Brown, I remember he said this. He came from, he was a child from divorce. And he says, hey, and him and his wife had an unbelievable bond. And he said these words to me one day. He says, Brother Eric, he goes, let me tell you something. Me and my wife are so close. When she gets on a plane to visit her folks, if another man just walking by her breathes the wrong way on her, I ought to feel that. I was like, you're kind of out there, man. I walked away and I thought about that. Why? Because he's trying to protect that which is good, amen? That's what he's trying to do. Hey, husbands, when the missus gets a little whatever, hey, give her a pass. Why? Because she's trying to protect that which was good. She doesn't want an enemy creeping up. Wives, the same thing. You know, I'm a mess as a husband. Man, I jumped the gun on so many things. I'm telling you, my wife will tell you. Goodness. But sometimes I walk away, I'm like, no, that's not what we're going to do. And I walk away, man, she's got a point about that. What is she doing? She's trying to protect that which is good. She's trying to watch out for me. She's my help me, as we already read. Young person, you knew I was going there. Take it easy on your parents. Simmer down. Why is it so hard? They may say no a little bit more than they should. They may put in guidelines and stuff and places that seem like they got you all. Why? Because they're trying to protect that which is good. That's all. The absence of a porter, the presence of the gatekeeper. We'll wrap it up. The presence of the gatekeeper. We need to be the same. There's nothing like the presence of somebody that's guarding that gate saying, hey, on this rock is where we stand, and there's the line drawn in the sand. You get past the dog, the shotgun, and then me, you're doing good. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Whoever's listening to that. Kind of. We need to draw some lines sometimes. And that's not easy, dads. That's not easy. Moms, that's not easy at times. Kids, young people, it's not easy for us to do that to you sometimes. But there's a line that has to be drawn. Sometimes I have to be there at the gate and say, no, not here. And it may cause tears. And you're like, let me share something with you. Some of the young people in here, there's a few. Sometimes I walk away crying. Man, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to. But there's just something in me. The Holy Spirit screaming at us, saying, no, no, no. The YMCA when I grew up was only like a half mile from my house. My parents hardly ever let me go there. They say, my mom says, that's their children. That's their problem. You're my child. You're my problem. You're staying here. I'm like, they're like, no all the time. No, no, no. Slowly as I grew up, saw one by one by one just disappear. In trouble. Years later, I'm looking back. Praise the Lord, Mom and Dad. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Absence of a porter. The presence of the gatekeeper. It surprises me at work. Doesn't surprise me at work anymore. How many times when I ask, where's Dad? Almost 100% of the time, nowhere. The absence of a father, an authority figure, a mother, wreaks havoc on a young person. The absence of an authority figure in an adult's life, being God, the Father, wreaks havoc in an adult's life. Wreaks havoc. Conclusion? Do you have the gatekeeper? Do you have a porter in your life? Do you have that person that steps in for you and says, no, not here. I submit to you today that if you're saved in here, you do. But if you do not, you can. And his name is Jesus. He's the one that when you receive him as your personal savior, you do crazy things. Or get in the midst of doing crazy things. Start thinking, quirky, and all of a sudden that sweet Holy Spirit just starts working. And no, don't do this. Don't do this. This is not what I want for you. Speaking, talking all over you. I remember being in college once, Pastor Brian Drury, I remember it. I was dumb. In line. And he was behind me, and I didn't even know it. Cashier asked me a question, and I heard his voice behind me. Yeah, that'll be good. Coming to your dorm room. Hey, Eric, man. Hey, I know you're in there. I know you. Shh, don't say nothing, guys. Crazy Tennessean, man. Knocking on dorm room doors. What in the world? What's that? That's a guy that cared enough for me to be my gatekeeper. He said, no, man, I don't want the adversary. I don't want that serpent creeping his ugly head up where it doesn't belong. No, I don't want him snatching you away. You may be in and out here and there and doing that, but I ain't going to let you go. Hey, we need to be that more. I don't know about you. I'm just speaking to myself, a preacher. I need to be that more. I need to be that more. I'm going to praise the Lord. The age of innocence. The presence of the enemy, the questioning of God's perfection, presence of a porter. Maybe you're here this evening and you're questioning things. Maybe you're here this evening and you're wondering, is it good enough? Is it good enough? Lord, I've been thinking I should be doing something else. Maybe the Lord's been working on your heart. You're like, I don't know if this is where you'd have me. Maybe you're just in a part in your heart where you need to submit to him. Totally with your life. Hey, I'm preaching to myself here too. And there's things that are hard to let go of, but he's proven time and time and time again, I've got you, I've got you, I've got you. Just let it all go. I got you. I'll take care of you. Amen. Everybody bow your head. Every head bowed. As a preacher comes, I want you to think about those things that were preached tonight, and maybe you're not saved in here tonight. I'd be naive to think that somebody doesn't need help in here. Praise the Lord. Just think on those things that were talked about a little bit. Is it good enough? Where you're at, is it good enough? And if you're a parent here today and you have some young ones under your roof, or even if you work in a junior church or you work in adult Sunday school or kids club, King's Club, think about those little people, those impressionable minds. If you've led somebody recently to the Lord, adult, think about that mind. He's a babe in Christ. He's a little person to Christ now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, thank you so much for all that you do and you have done. We love you and we need you, Lord. Thank you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.